Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Shinedown has a song called The Sounds of Madness.
Okay.
And I could call up and...
Right. Something that sounds mad.
All right. AJ, Sounds of Madness, go. Okay, good. See? You would be in the running right now.
I would.
Sounds like the dog at the end of the bath.
Remember, he's a really mad cartoon. Yeah. Turn like red.
Stone!
You see like an egg cooking for it. You know? If I could do that, I would.
All right. So,
yeah, sounds tremendous.
203-882-9757. All right. Everybody on gets in the running, and then we'll pick, you know, let's pick two.
Okay.
We'll pick two people to go to our event. April 6th at Little Pub in Stratford. Pretty freaking wild, man.
Yeah. Dave?
Dave? Hello? Yes.
I'm here.
That's good. Okay, now do a sound of madness.
I love the originality of this.
It was. Which is why hot coffee.
I can't even reproduce that.
It's like you're trying to lift something heavy.
Can you do that again?
Come on, please. It's like you're standing on Grandpa's air hose.
All right, he gets tickets.
Nice, look at you. That was interesting.
Don in Naugatuck.
I'm going to ask the boss for a raise.
I instead of just doing a laugh, you start with blah.
Right.
Like,
blah.
I'm vomiting laughter.
Right. Projecting laughter at you.
Mm. What is going on here?
Okay, you're in the running.
Oh my God!
I said, don't touch that.
All right, you're in the running.
Nice.
You're up.
Though.
You got tickets.
Cold car seat? Okay.
Now do your sound. Chaz and AJ, you're on the air.
The wolfman throwing up.
There's something about this that just makes me smile.
Wish it was all day. All day long. Tuesday Madness.
All right, hold on. Let's get your number. You're in the running.
Nice.
We're doing Sounds of Madness. It's a Shinedown song. They're doing a Shinedown strip down, thanks to Maritime Chevrolet, at Little Pub in Stratford on April 6th. You have to win the tickets here. It's the only way. Don't go there. Don't call there.
Nope, ain't going to happen.
Nope. So you got to be on the list. Michelle in Torrington.
Yes.
Yes.
Let's hear it.
Oh, did you hear me scream already?
No,
I did not.
Oh. We're going to say yes.
Oh. Ah.
Wow. Keep it in toilet paper.
I'm sorry.
try get a two-ply. I hate when it stops short.
Your phone cut out a little bit. Can you do it one more time?
Oh.
Now, you know what the problem is here? You're screaming at the phone, and the phone's overmodulating. Can you put the phone down and then stand about 2 feet away from it and then do it again?
Hello?
Did she give up on us?
I don't know.
Sean O'Neill, co-founder of Tribus Brewery in Milford. And someone had you go looking for a bacon stretcher?
Yes. Back in my internship days in college, I got an internship at Cisco Brewers on Nantucket. And I was just really doing everything I could as a newcomer to just basically outperform anything I could. And so the veteran... bartender at that time, it was a Sunday, goes, hey, brunch Sundays are really big for us, and Bloody Marys are a very popular cocktail here. We're going to need you to find that bacon stretcher and really extract all the juices out of the bacon for these Bloody Marys.
That sounds very, that sounds very, like a totally different way.
Okay.
I can use the bacon stretcher myself.
So, I went on in about an hour-long endeavor throughout the whole property looking for a bacon stretcher. I did not know what it looked like.
Well, they let you go for an hour.
Describe the bacon stretcher,
did you
please?
Find it?
Yeah, well, they didn't describe what it looked like. I just had to use my own imagination. I was thinking, like, some sort of metal.
What'd you picture it? Yeah, like, you know.
Like, you know, when you go to the gym, you see, like, the two grips, and you try to, like, break them apart.
Right, okay.
I was like, okay, well,
I actually saw that in my brain, too.
Maybe I can just, like, pinch both ends of the bacon.
Right.
First of all, I didn't even know where the bacon was. We didn't have bacon there. But that's besides the point. I was like, I think these guys are screwing with me, but let me just go and look around. I was in the basement in the cellar where, like, cases of bourbon were. I'm like, what am I doing right now?
And then we were laughing their asses off upstairs. Right.
Yeah, and that guy's still looking for the bacon stretcher.
Oh, my God.
I would race by them, like, did you find it yet? And I'm like, no, not
still
yet.
Still looking. Obviously, you weren't on the clock then, were you?
Yeah.
Dedication.
So I saw, you know, I was in a sign of desperation mode at this point, and there's a loft office where the three owners are usually pow-powing about business, and I go up there, and I kind of interrupt the meeting. And I say, hey, guys, Tyler from downstairs asked me to look for a bacon stretcher for the Bloody Marys.
Oh.
And they all stopped what they were doing and slowly looked at me, and they're like, Sean, they're screwing with you. I was like, oh, okay, that's great. Right.
Okay, yes, sir.
Right.
Continue
great.
On.
Great first day. Making sure you knew that.
Team spirit. Got it, sir.
Actually, I'm going to HR to turn him in.
I'm
going to
go get my resume in order.
Right. I'll be leaving now. Thank you.
Sean with Trivis Brewery is in studio. How does this start? Does this start in your basement, then it becomes a business?
Yeah, I'd say a little bit. We were recreational homebrewers out of college. Sebastian is one of the co-founders of Tribus.
Okay.
And we grew up together in Norwalk. We were practically next door neighbors. And we had the love and passion for beer. And we basically, I went to college at UConn. And
you have to really love beer, I think.
To make it yourself.
To say, you know,
I want to do this.
This buying it thing.
Yeah.
It's too easy.
Right. No, I want to make it. I want to make my own beer.
Let's do the whole thing.
Yeah.
Let's make the whole thing.
I think the same thing. I think most people are just perfectly happy to just drink it.
It's not easy to do, though.
I'll try different flavors.
Yeah.
I'll try different brands.
It's not easy to do, though.
No, it's got to be.
It's not.
No, my friend's beer is chewy.
Yeah, there's so many variables, and I mean, it's super easy to screw anything up in those variables.
Oh, he did,
Many trials, tribulations. Obviously, the waiting game is the hardest part because you just want to drink it, but it depends on the style, how long that fermentation period lasts. But, myself, Matt, and Sebastian, homebrewed. I had an external garage in Stanford where I was living at the time after college, and we would brew in that external garage probably once a month for a solid 6 years until they were intern brewers at Nebco at the time before they were professional brewers there, and I have a background in distribution. And after about 6 or 7 years, we met up at Archie Moore's in Milford for beer and wings. And
nice.
We're like, you know what? We don't want bosses anymore. Let's just kind of do this ourselves.
They threw down their wings and walked away. Damn it.
Well, we paid our bill.
Okay,
but,
that's good.
Yes.
Yeah, and that was back in 2016, and there was a long, bumpy road.
It's a big
road.
Jump.
Definitely.
That's a financial jump.
Yeah.
Huge. We didn't have two nickels to rub together.
I thought it was going to be you started part-time and started making money, then you left your real jobs. You just left your real jobs and started this company.
Had wings and left.
Oh, crap.
Our
That's
real
balls.
Jobs didn't know what we were doing, obviously, so we just kind of kept pursuing our annual salaried positions and did the best we could to circumnavigate the path of, you know, entrepreneurship. Was still, you know, getting paychecks, paying our mortgages, all that type of stuff.
Was there a moment in the lab, like the brewery, where you took a sip, you're like, we're going to be rich.
Right.
We got it.
Eureka.
You know, it's one of those things where the year that we opened in 2018, there were so many other breweries, just in Connecticut. Let's not even look at outside of state borders. The conceptual and perception of, you know, making money obviously is nice. I mean, Benji, our flagship, is short for like Benjamin Franklin. It's all about the Benjis.
Nice. So
nice.
We definitely like that. And we're not in this as like some sort of, you know, basement hobby project where we just kind of enjoy it. We do enjoy it, but it has.
No, I know what you're saying. Well, we had some young kids in here, young adults.
Yeah.
Who were thinking about being podcasters. And I asked them, what do you want to do? And they said, make money. We said, okay.
We all do.
But then you're going to be chasing probably the wrong trends. You know?
Absolutely.
You guys started by saying, well, we like beer a lot.
Right. Correct.
So we're going to start making it.
Correct.
And you started making money making something you love. That's
absolutely.
You pursue something you love, you'll never feel like you're working. Well, maybe sometimes, but
right.
You know, you're going to be doing it for the right reasons. So
right.
That's pretty
yeah.
cool.
Yeah. It's a matter of self-discipline, too. You know, you work and you grind hard and, every now and then you have to take a step back and say, hey, like, don't forget, you do love this, you know? It's a grind.
Well, what happens, and everyone who owns a small or large business, you get into it to do that particular thing, whether it be plumbing or roofing or whatever. Then there's this whole, I got to find customers. I got to track them down. I got to get money from them. Whole business part
you
gotta of it.
You got to keep them then.
Yeah. That's why 90% of businesses fail, because you then have to become an entrepreneur
you start
and not a
being
technician.
Something that you
really
want to
get
into.
Yeah, you want to be the technician, but then you end up being an entrepreneur, and that's a whole
for
different
sure.
ballgame.
Yeah.
So you got to have both brains running, and that's what I was telling these future podcasters is that it's not just sitting in front of a microphone talking about whatever you think is fun at the moment.
Right.
It's a whole deal, so. Congratulations to you, man.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, the beer looks great. The cans.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, we
nice and tall.
We have a creative director on salary. His name is Will. He does a great job with all the label design.
I'm surprised you don't have a beer called Bacon Stretcher.
Right.
Because it's such a good
a little throwback
story.
Beginning,
I don't think my business partners even know that story.
Probably not something you want to tell them before they go into, you know, risk the house and life. And
Or beer called They're Pulling Your Leg.
As a brewery, how do you keep up with all the competition? Or do you even... is it difficult to survive? Because there's so many different products.
Oh, definitely. Well, first and foremost, you know, beer is a substantially perishable product. So if you are going to produce an IPA, for instance, you're going to want to make sure that that IPA is consumed within 90 to 120 days, right? So if you're, you know, pumping out all of this product, you need to make sure that you have an existing framework network of active buying accounts that soak it all up, because the last thing you want is sitting on inventory at all. So we essentially pre-sell most of our products, and when it comes to distribution, we're in almost 200 bars and restaurants at this point, and almost 100 liquor stores.
Holy crap.
Wow.
We have a
good for you, man.
Thank you. Appreciate
That's cool.
it. Appreciate it. We have a slightly specialized model that not every brewery has. So in the United States, when it comes to alcohol, you have a three-tier system. You have the manufacturer, you have a wholesaler, middleman, and you have retailer. Connecticut is one of the states where a manufacturer has the ability to also be a wholesaler. So we self-distribute all of our product within Connecticut. So we kind of cut out the middleman. It consumes a lot more overhead, but we have more control over our product. So if I were...
It's a lot of time, too, though.
It's a ton of time.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we didn't have any background in distribution, but we wanted to monetarily do better, we're going to go to wholesalers in Connecticut and say, hey, we want a contract where you have rights to our brand and we'll just send you beer based off of what you need and you control our beer. So there's a 6-month grace period in Connecticut where you have 6 months in a wholesaler house to stay or withdraw if you don't like the situation. After that 6-month grace period, you're kind of SOL. So we just kind of circumnavigate around that, and we distribute.
This is why
ourselves.
I just drink beer.
It's just it's way better.
For me.
Just drink beer.
I'm telling you,
that'd it's
be good
5 o'clock.
Beer. Think about it sometime.
That'd be good in for a beer.
Drinking
as well.
It is way easier.
Yes,
you know it's.
But
it's
I'm
important.
Glad there are people like you making it.
Yes,
because I like
you.
To drink it.
Be drinking.
I don't want to do all that work.
It's a lot of analytics.
I just
you know.
I drink to forget work.
Yeah. Just maintain relationships and good consistent products.
How many different flavors do you have?
Well, last year we released 88 different brands or SKUs.
Seems like a lot.
Yeah, if you were to walk in our tap room, we generally have like 9 to 13 beers on tap at all times.
Cool.
Benji IPA and Beer, B-I-E-R, are our two house core beers. Everything else on top of that is...
Like flavor of the day?
Rotational.
Yeah, coming in and out.
Seasonal.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, brand loyalty is tough these days, and people always want the new shiny toy. But we have to do the best we can to resonate something to help pay the bills. Like Benji is about 80% of our production, and the rest is 20 out of the 87 other beers.
Now, this month, will it be Peeps flavored?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll crush
some Peeps. E-Bunny beer, yes. Easter egg.
Some blue, some pink, some yellow.
You're going to go back. Get the Peep stretcher.
Right.
We actually do, we constructed a cool little adult Easter egg hunt Saturday before Easter. What is that, April 8th?
Yes.
Yeah, so come on down above the age of 21, right when we open. We'll have about 30 Easter eggs for adults spread throughout the beer garden
like
and tap room.
Man,
no, they're shaped like an egg, but there's gift cards in there and other nice items.
Oh, you just gave me an idea for an Easter egg hunt at my house. I'm going to just take a bunch of your colorful beer cans,
right,
unopened,
right,
cold, and just hide them in my yard.
Absolutely.
Nice. All right.
Hide them in the fridge.
Yeah, right. Why would I hide them in the yard? I could just put them in the fridge,
exactly,
and everyone could have an easy day.
Yeah. Another one.
You could hide the fridge somewhere.
It was on the second shelf.
I had the fridge out in the woods. That's the way to
nice.
Do it.
So, wonder if we put any in this cooler. Ah, yes.
Oh, look at that.
Excellent.
It was under the ice. I was under the ice.
Who would have thought?
Before we let you go, you got a really cool fundraiser coming up for the Milford 4th of July fireworks.
Yes.
At your place with the Rum Runners, one of our favorite bands
we
ever.
We love them.
Love them.
And they love
They're
us.
Playing.
Yes.
Yeah, we love the Rum Runners. They do a great job, and man, oh man, do they pack the house.
They do.
So yeah, that'll be Monday, April 24th. There'll be a suggested cash cover at the door. All those cover charges go straight towards a fundraiser. Tribus will also be donating partial proceeds from sales that night. And we'll have Blind Rhino, our friends, and Resident Food Truck will also be contributing to the cause.
That's awesome. And since it's for the 4th of July fireworks, I thought... AJ has this trick that he does.
I do. I do have this trick.
They don't allow me to
am I getting an engagement here?
What do we got? What's the trick?
So, AJ, Phil, can you find the audio?
Yeah, find the audio
right
first.
Now.
Yes,
so,
yes, yes. You got to hear
we,
it first.
We can't do it here
we
anymore.
Can't do it here, no.
But AJ used to, in the parking lot on 4th of July, lay down on the pavement, and he would pull his pants down. And he, his butt would be facing up.
Right.
Just so you know. Just. And these would be getting fired out of his ass.
Right. I called them butter rockets.
That's great.
I put it a little too deep on the last one.
Yeah, that one time. Yeah. Yeah, I got restraining.
I didn't know you weren't supposed to go all
That's
way
great.
In.
Yes, right.
You can do it at Tribus.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, sure.
Very good.
Yeah.
Why not?
All right. Out in the parking lot.
There you go.
Beers and butts.
Beers and butts.
See?
Yeah, beers
he's,
and
this is why he's doing what he's doing.
Beers and bottle rockets.
He knows how to do it.
There you go.
Nice. thanks for coming
of
in.
Of course. Thank you.
Congratulations on your success.
Yeah.
And thanks for bringing samples. I mean, we're new fans now.
You're the best, man.
So please enjoy it. Tap rooms in Milford. Come on down anytime you want.
Thank you. And he has TV trivia night.
Cool.
It's a real fun place.
Awesome.
A woman in New York accidentally got one of her fingers caught in a grocery cart for nearly a half an hour.
Damn.
Well,
police needed EMTs to help her get out.
The jaws of life.
Yep. That cart's done.
This is the moment that first responders were able to free her finger.
Oh, hold on.
And the heart.
Hand on heart.
Lower,
heart.
Lower,
lower expectations.
Expectations.
There it is.
Oh my God, the sheriff is here. Did you call 911?
No, he's
you can't pull it out or anything, man.
There's a knuckle there. That's the problem. Okay.
Now but the finger.
There's a knuckle there. That's
There's a
the problem.
Knuckle.
Yeah.
That old knuckle.
You know what? Just leave the person like that as an example to others not to be an idiot.
Yeah.
Wow.
When she has to go through life with a shopping cart, try and shower the shopping cart.
A shopping
try
cart.
Try to build a shopping cart.
It's made of that hard plastic with the honeycomb design.
Yeah. Yeah, I learned not to put my fingers in there.
When you get your fingers stuck, do you ever get a ring stuck on your hand?
Yes.
And then it kind of freaks you out a little bit?
Yeah,
like, I'm not going to lie. Like, sometimes you put it on, like something you haven't worn in a long time, and then all of a sudden I can't get off. And it, you're like,
it's getting worse. Yeah, as you start pulling, everything starts. Yeah.
But then you get crazy in your own head. You're like, I got to get this off. I'm going to die.
Right. Yeah, you feel like you're in a.
Yeah,
like an elevator.
They try to gnaw it off like a fox.
I got to pull the skin off my finger. What's going to happen?
Right.
Then you do the string trick where you wrap the string around it. Did I ever say that? You put a string around and you just keep putting the string forward and you can slide the thing right off. And then you
really?
Put it behind this. Yeah. That's like a YouTube video. Wow. Show you how to do that.
Look at you. It's a hack.
I did it once. Because
Dave,
it was
how
stuck.
Often does this happen?
I've had it
I have a feeling it wasn't his finger.
Time, you know, right. When you put on weight,
it was lower.
I got a couple rings I wear during the show, and sometimes I get it during my fat moments. I'll like, go to put it on, and I'll think, and then I figure if I can slide it over my finger, I'm not fat anymore. So I try to prove it to myself that I'm okay. Then I push it over, and I go, look, I'm not fat anymore. Then it doesn't come off, and I go, now I'm fat again.
Right.
That's an interesting Google, especially with a ring stuck on your finger, how to get a ring off your finger.
Right, like that time I found the shampoo bottle.
Exactly.
It's very common.
That happens to AJ all the time.
That wasn't
AJ, rinse and repeat. Didn't mean that.
I find a little conditioner around the rim.
Yes.
Let's see, next story. I cracked my own neck to avoid chiropractor bills. Now I'm blind.
I have heard something else.
So often that doing that is the worst thing you can do for yourself.
Oof.
Crack your own neck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to love doing it, and someone was like, please.
Oh, yeah, you pop like corn.
Yeah, no, I don't do it anymore.
How do you crack your own neck?
You just sort of lean all the way over until it, yeah.
Don't demonstrate, Phil.
No, I've
seen people do it where they take their chin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pull their head back. Or
that's worse.
One of these.
Yeah. You're literally turning your whole spinal column out of alignment.
Yeah. I usually wait for a bouncer to throw me out of a bar to do it.
There's a picture we have somewhere of some freaking wrestler. Remember, he came, Phil, and he tuned you. He twisted you up like you were
like a pretzel.
Oh yeah, what was his name?
He did the
reverse chicken wing.
Oh, what's
something.
His name? What's his name? Yeah.
Reverse chicken
it
wing.
It was Mankind, wasn't it?
No.
No, but there is one of the pictures where I'm like
Bob Backlund.
Yeah.
Okay.
Crossface chicken wing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Crossface chicken wing.
I got to pull that picture up.
How many chicken wings?
It hurt. I was like, oh, he's going to do this for the camera. And then I was like, oh, no, I'm in pain.
Yeah, he went a little too much.
A little bit.
A little too much.
Here's how I knew how bad it looked. Even AJ was like, oh, no.
Yeah, my smile dropped.
Yep. Yeah, so a guy lost his sight after cracking his neck, has warned people about the dangers of practicing do-it-yourself chiropractor sessions at home.
Well, you're an idiot.
What's your neck have
like
to
that?
Do with your eyesight, though?
I have no idea.
Is it your eyesight, like, does it travels down through your butt and it's comes back up? I mean, how does that work? I don't get it.
There's all nerves and stuff. It's all connected.
Oh.
It's funny that this moron thinks he needs to warn us about this. Like, oh, dude, the rest of the world knows.
I don't do it.
Okay? You're the idiot.
Yeah.
One lone idiot.
I go to a chiropractor if I have to.
Well, it makes sense, because there's another thing I used to do as a kid, and they used to threaten it would make you go blind. That's a lot lower than my neck.
Right, so. But I finally put like string on your palm.
Now I used to love cracking all the joints I could find and crack, and it's not good for you most of the time. I still crack my finger. I can't help it. Like my knuckles.
I'll grab Jennifer's toes and pull them.
Right.
Oh, is that toes. So satisfying?
AJ's getting a little crazy.
No,
seriously, it is. He's not a fan of it, but I love it.
If you do that to me, you'll hear a different sound come out. Like a foghorn.
Andy Wilson, 53, suffered from chronic back pain since he was a child, but after years of seeing a chiropractor, he decided to save money by kind of doing what they were doing to him.
Nope.
But you're not.
Yeah, you're not a professional.
You are not educated.
Yeah,
you're not a professional.
You know, he deserves it.
Yeah, so he screwed himself up pretty good. Had nausea.
Oh.
Lost his eyesight. He's got most of his eyesight back now.
How much cracking was he doing?
Jesus, what was he doing?
Just say no to cracking.
Say no to cracking.
Cracking is wet. Well,
cracking is whacking.
Cracking is whacking.
This is more weird than dumbass news, but we have to do it.
Okay.
Man hits cow on Interstate 395, gets $1.3 million. That's not the dumbass part of it.
That was a cow right there.
One of our friends, you know, Hugh Keefe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's part of the law firm Lynch, Traub, Keefe, and Arante in New Haven.
Yeah.
They said that their guy received a settlement March 10th in a New London court. They got the guy got $1.3 million.
No.
Because he hit a cow that had bolted through a fence on the interstate.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be so, busting through fences to hit cows on the way home today.
So they sold their beef in court?
This is the part of the story that Ruth brought in and said, you got to do this story.
Okay.
The guy who hit the cow.
Uh-huh.
On the highway, was treated by Dr. Hamburger.
No. No.
That's rare. Hey, his wife's name is Patty.
That was well done.
Yeah, apparently he was in a real pickle. try and catch up.
We got to get this guy on
Yeah,
the
we
phone.
Do. We do. Oh.
But
which one? I think we should get both.
Both. But then there was a member of the jury whose name was Burger.
Burger? Wow.
Stop. Who was released for personal reasons.
Wow. Yeah, couldn't let a slider.
Couldn't stop laughing.
This was the Chaz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Chaz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.